I think that a lot of people do know some Aboriginal people that just don't realise it.
You look at my mum, she's English. You look at my dad, he's Aboriginal. And look at me, I'm a bit in between. I haven't got the flat nose anymore. I sometimes wish I did.
You know, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I have a flag tattooed to my forehead.
Like, most of them call me Auntie Lynn, and I'm happy to be their auntie, even though that I'm not.
Because I am Aboriginal because of my DNA, not because of my lingo.
Meet the Mob, a podcast from 1233 ABC Newcastle with Jill Emberson. Subscribe at abc.net.au/Newcastle.
It's great to be sitting at the dining table at the Wenatong family out in Raymond Terrace with a kitchen designed and installed by yourself, Joel Wenatong. Didn't know you were good at that.
Neither did I until I had a crack at it, you know. And that's all part of the fun of building your own house or renovating your own house is just having a go.
What else you got to do to the house?
I'm just going to do a patio area out there next to the pool, and then hopefully before Christmas, so when all the family comes, so they've got another room to stay in.
Well, you need room. You've got four kids now.
Yeah, four kids, and I think that's it, apparently.
I think?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a choice. It just happens.
Ah, you haven't read that book.
Yeah, it just happens. That's the book I read. And when you study it as well, so...
Oh, well, you're studying medicine, so it's the same book, is it?
Yeah, it's exactly the same book, except we still don't know really how it happens. It's just, yeah, we know kind of clinically, but the fact that it still happens is still a miracle, so, yeah.
How are all the kids?
They're all just getting over the being sick because it's, you know, the change of season. And I get sick first, and then Adriana usually gets sick, and then they drop off usually at two or three of them at a time. And now we're all just getting over it, so that's a good thing. But they're all enjoying their school holidays. They're going horse riding today because, you know, that's what we do, go horse riding.
Are you into horses?
No, not really, but my daughter is. And my auntie was a trainer down in Victoria. Can't remember where she lived, but yeah, she used to raise horses and train them and all sorts of things. So it's kind of in the family, but yeah, I stayed away from that. But now my daughters, you know, they want a pony dad, and so this is the closest they get.
Living somewhere like Raymond Terrace would be good for that too, because there's land around here, there's places to move. Is that why you live out here?
No, I moved out here. Why? I have no idea. No, I actually know. When I finished my first degree in teaching, I then got a job at Raymond Terrace Public School, and my wife, who was my girlfriend then, lived out here, and then because I was working out here, we decided to buy a house when I got her pregnant.
And now you're making this a real family home with also your studio in it. That's pretty terrific. What have you actually built there?
It used to be kind of this L-shaped family kind of TV room, and so I knocked down a few walls and built some new ones and, yeah, decided to put in a studio because that's what, you know, that I use a lot, and it's good for the kids as well because they jump on in there all the time and bang on the keyboard and lock themselves in the recording booth and... Well, I lock them in there till they make a hit song, but, yeah, it hasn't worked so far.
They're still only young, aren't they?
Yeah, nah, they should be getting somewhere now. as soon as they can talk, that's it. There.
You're a tough taskmaster, Joel Wenatong. Do you want them to do music, your kids?
I just want them to have every opportunity they can possibly get. So I don't really force them to do anything musically, but it's there if they want to, and if they knock on the door and say, oh, I want to record something, all right, let's do it. So that's what we do. Or if they want to go horse riding, we say, all right, don't have a horse, but let's find someone who does and have a crack at it. So I guess it's, you know, my background in teaching and early childhood education has really, I guess, led me to kind of give them as many experiences as they possibly can. So
it's terrific that they're out and that we're here because we probably couldn't record anything. I'm sure they're delightful children, but I'm glad we could have this quiet moment together. I really do appreciate it.
They're feral. They're feral.
I love a parent who can admit that. You mean they're not geniuses?
Yeah, well, one is, but she's still feral. Yeah. No, they're all geniuses in their own little ways, but they're still feral, yeah.
How are studies going for you? Speaking of being geniuses or being feral, how is university, Joel Winnetong?
I finished third year last year, and then in fourth year we can do a Bachelor of Medical Science, which is a extra research year that allows us to go into do a research project in a field that you're kind of interested in. And so I chose the social emotional wellbeing area because it's not really taught at the university level, and because I want to go into general practice when I finish, I do want to have a bit of that background, since it's, you know, one of the biggest areas of need, and it's a growing area that a lot of GPs that I've found don't always feel comfortable that have the qualifications or the training to actually deal with.
Have you got a defined project?
Yeah. So I'm actually going out to Moree to interview a whole range of elders, so around 30 male elders, about just, it's a whole lot of aims of it, but one of the main ones is, I guess, I've been developing a lot of documentaries on elders around the community, and Moree was an area where a few of the community actually asked me to do some stuff up there, so I kind of merged into one. So we're doing a life story, but we're also looking at their cultural attachments, so what they were taught when they were younger, what cultural ties they have, their totems, what language, what ceremonies that they actually went through, and then relating that to their, you know, not so much what they went through in their lives, but how they actually coped with those hard times, I guess. So looking at resilience and that connection to cultural attachments. So it's a whole lot of video editing and data analysis and all sorts of different things. So
do you reckon young people can learn from the elders, like via a medium of video, for example? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, pretty much exactly that. And it does work. Like, I've learnt so much. I've probably done 12 documentaries. The last one I finished was 37 elders from all around here, from Warramwai, Warimi, Awabakal, Darkinjung, all the mobs around this whole area. And that was for Aboriginal Affairs. And the stories that they told were just unbelievable, and what they had actually gone through, you know, helps me get through medicine pretty much. Like, if they can, you know, get jobs and work when they weren't even allowed to, or even classes, you know, citizens or human beings or whatever, born next to the hospital or in, you know, on a dirt floor, and still have a really good life, then, you know, a few little exams of 5 years in medicine is nothing, really.
With some tiling to do and some kids to raise and some dogs to manage over there, it's nothing. Joel Winnetong, yeah, we're in his lounge room, dining room here in Raymond Terrace for Meet the Mob on 1233 ABC Newcastle. This is fascinating, Joel. So many of these interviews are about, that I've uncovered, Aboriginal people at various stages of their journey, you know, digging in deep and finding how absolutely integral Aboriginality is to their, from where they've come and where they're going. And yet still, from non-Aboriginal people will say to me, haven't they done with those stories yet?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I've thought about this like a lot, because I grew up in Queensland, and so up there they have the welfare reform kind of program, where they're looking at not so much increasing cultural attachment, but more, you know, schools and education and things like that. And while I was up there, you know, it had some benefits, but it just really wasn't working at all. And I think my theory is that when you have a strong sense of identity and a strong sense of culture, and you can, you know, you can go out the bush and hunt food and know where to look and find, that you have this sense of security that if anything went bad, you were going to be okay. Like, if, you know, if the world ended and there was no electricity left, and, you know, there was some sort of war or whatever, and I ran out in the bush, you know, with my family, I'd be okay, you know, whereas I know a lot of people wouldn't be. And I know so many kids who just can't even light fires anymore. It's like, really? You can't without matches or a lighter? Like, you know, just simple things that I've picked up on the way, I think it gives me that sense that I can really achieve anything. So I guess it's not so much directly, people don't see that direct benefit, but as a person, holistically, you feel as though you're more complete and that you can, anything that's thrown at you in life, you know you can get through because you have those skills and that knowledge. So,
Joel Wenatong, we're talking about so many interesting things here this afternoon for Meet the Mob. You've been performing for a while. Your identity is integral to your music, to who you are, what you do. What next for Lost Connection?
We're just doing our third album, which is exciting. We kind of just started and just mixing a song in there now that we're doing for NAIDOC Week. So the theme for NAIDOC Week is Yirrkala bark petitions, and so we're performing at the awards in Perth, and we've been asked to do the handover of this message deep. So we wrote this song called Pass It On.
Joel Wenatong, the band is major part of your life. Will it always be?
Oh, definitely. You know, people said, oh, when you become a doctor, you're going to give up. And I was like, no, it was when medicine was just something to fall back on from music because I had all this extra time. No, damn it. To me, they're both as effective as each other. Like, you know, music goes across languages, you know, and across countries and to all sorts of different people. And a lot of the messages that we do put in our songs, you know, relate to health and well-being. And so, you know, the medicine side of it is just another avenue, I guess, another perspective on helping people wherever I can. So, you know, part of Last Connection, we do a lot of workshops in communities as well. So the music therapy side of things and that being able to get out all those emotions and all those, you know, hard times that you're going through is really important for anybody to move forward and to heal, I guess. And so music writing is a constructive way of doing that.
Thanks for being my guest on Meet the Mob.
Thank you.
And for having us around at your place.
Thanks for coming up to Raymond Terrace. We love Terrace, you know.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love it.
Why?
From my house to the airport, it takes 10 minutes. We have two Woolworths, not one, but two Woolworths, like the old one and the new one, they're called. We have a Big W, we have a pool, 10-pin bowling, just like 5 minutes from my house. Like, you can't argue with that. And, you know, the neighbourhood's mad. Not really. Like, I taught a lot of these kids in primary school, so I know most of the community around the place. So when there are all sorts of things happening that might not be that good, usually know most of the kids, so they don't bother me or my house. So
it's great to get that perspective because I think it's sometimes the overshadowed part of the region.
Yeah, like, you know, things happen in all communities. It's just that, you know, Raymond Terrace is a bit more open about it, I guess.
And that suits you.
Yeah, fine. You know, as long as it's out in the open, then, you know, it's the things that happen behind closed doors that always worry me. And, you know, in some of the richer suburbs, I'm sure the most awful things happen that we just never hear about because people have money to cover it up or, you know, whatever. But
draw the heavy curtains.
That's right, exactly. And I know that happens for a fact. So, you know, Terrace is just, it just happens out in the main street.
You've been listening to a 1233 ABC Newcastle podcast. For more, visit our website at abc.net.au/Newcastle.